In the providence of God, we are standing on the verge of a year 2023, and tomorrow is going to be a new year. We all pray and expect that the new year should be a blessed year for us. But we'll have to realize the reality that a year, a season cannot be blessed just because the world, the earth revolves around the sun and, you know, we happen to have a new year and it can't just automatically happen. People, I heard a song yesterday, bye bye 2023, welcome 2024, you know, and they went on singing that song. But whether we realize it or no, 2023 will have a very, very deep impact on 2024. Right? In fact, even today, the last day of 2023, the old year, the last day of the old year, whatever you do today will have an impact on 2024. Bible talks of different types of years. In fact, some places it is very explicit, some places it is implied. Exodus talks about 400 years of bondage. Those are years of bondage. Leviticus talks about years of rest. Numbers talks about 40 years of wandering. Deuteronomy talks about years of release. Ecclesiastes talks about years of vanity, years of sorrow, years of weakness. Jeremiah talks about year of divine visitation. Isaiah wrote about divine recompense. Right? God is going to avenge you for all the things that you did in this year. And years of chastisement. Isaiah talks about acceptable year of the Lord, which means the God's blessing is going to flow in that year. Habakkuk talks about years of revival. Jeremiah again talks about year of death. Luke 13 talks about 3 years of patience with the tree that did not bear any fruit. So there are different types of years, and Romans talks about time where people treasure up wrath of God. None of these years stand in isolation, right? They all have an inseparable connection to the previous years. So it's a rule of nature, what we sow is what we reap. So in 2023, if 2024 has to be any different, we have to do something in 2023, right? Because it is inseparably connected. So today I want to encourage you to examine your life. Right? How has 2023 been? So we saw about Thanksgiving. We'll have to thank. That's one of the responsibility. And I think New Year is also a time of examination, a time of introspection. Right? Look at our year, life. Look at how we have lived. Because only when we do that, right, that exercise of introspection prepares us to plan and resolve for the new year. Otherwise, what do you resolve? Right? You think everything is fine and everything has gone on well and it's the best year, and then, you know, there's nothing to resolve, right? So that exercise of introspection helps you to plan for the new year. So as we stand at the edge of 2023, I want to share something that God told Israelites to do in the book of Haggai. Let me read verse 1 to 10. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring the wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. I remember preaching a sermon on this passage very, very long time ago, but even as we were thinking about this year and I was thinking about several things, this is the passage that kept coming to my mind. And I guess that probably the Lord wants me to preach on this passage. So there was a burden that I thought I will share. The way that God rebukes these people, if you listen to the wordings, right, looks like these people were most lazy and ungodly people. But it is not so. These are the most committed people of that time. It's amazing, most committed people. One of the people who returned from the Babylonian captivity to Israel to rebuild the temple. Out of all the people, they are the people who volunteered to come back. We know the history of Israel. God redeemed the people of Israel from Egypt and he gave them the promised land. But God kept telling them that you are special people. You'll have to remember your redemption and you'll have to live for me. But God kept repeatedly warning them, but they kept sinning. Right? They despised the word of the Lord. It's a horrible thing to do, to despise the word of the Lord, because it can result in terrible consequences. That's what happened to them. They refused to listen to God's word. As a consequence, God sent them into captivity. God sent the great tyrant Nebuchadnezzar. He came and he destroyed Judah. He destroyed the temple and he carried all the people to Babylon captivity. Right? And there they lived a very terrible life spiritually. No temple, no worship, no God. And they were even forced to bow down to idols. Right? We see that in the book of Daniel. They lived as fugitives in a foreign land and they would sadly sing by the riverside. 70 years had passed and Nebuchadnezzar, the king, died and the Persia took over the reign, and the Persian king, Cyrus, became the king. And he was moved by God to give an order to the Jews to go and rebuild the temple. Right? God somehow worked sovereignly to move him. And he also generously provided a lot of wealth and treasures and materials to go and build the temple. And it's a great time, right? What a blessing. Many of these Jews would have been praying that God do something so the temple may be built. But when there is a commitment to go and do the work, that's when we realize most of them, their prayers were just shallow. Right? All the Jews should have eagerly gone. But you know what happened? Only 50,000 volunteered. Out of all the Jews that lived in Babylon, there is a king who says, go and build the temple. Only 50,000. And these were those Jews, the committed people. Right? Because most of them had gotten used to the 70 years of Babylonian life, because most of them were born there in the new land. It's a new generation. These 50 were very zealous. They decided to leave the Babylon, take the long and dangerous journey. There could be wild animals, there could be bandits who can rob them, but they decided to take the journey and took that risk. They came, and when they came and saw, the temple was completely destroyed. They had to rebuild it. The first thing they did was they built an altar. Right? They followed the regulative principles of Moses. Right? He said, first build an altar, and they sacrificed to God. And they worshipped God according to the words of Moses. That's what it says. And they brought materials, they prepared the workforce, they put the foundation for the temple. There were Jews who were left in that land before, the Nebuchadnezzar didn't carry them, but there were Jews, they were left, but they ended up marrying Canaanites and they were called Samaritans. Okay? And those guys, when they saw the temple was rebuilt, they came and they volunteered. They said, we're going to help you. But these Jews said, no, the temple needs to be built by the pure people of God. We don't need your worldly help. They refused that help. Great committed people, right? And they were offended. And there were others who saw the building of the temple as a threat. And so they together wrote a letter. That time the Cyrus king had died and there was another king, Artaxerxes. So they wrote a letter to him saying, see, the temple is being built and you don't know about these people. They will, once the temple is built, they will claim independence. They will not pay taxes. They will cause a lot of trouble to your kingdom. So they somehow convinced that guy, the new king. So he wrote back another order saying, please stop them from building. But these people didn't care because God had told us to build the temple. We're going to build. All the nations around started opposing. Right? There was opposition. They said, we're going to destroy you if you build the temple. And gradually and slowly they were threatened. And you know, they stopped building the temple. Okay? So there was much opposition. These people, God is talking to these people, these committed people, the people who left Babylon and came and traveled and faced all this opposition. At a worldly level, you can't find any fault at them, right? There was great opposition, we were threatened, we have all the reasons, but God knew their hearts, right? God saw the real problem was not the external circumstances. The real problem was their hearts had lost the godly zeal. 11 months had passed. In fact, the opposition kind of subsided. And these guys should have built the temple. But God saw that they did not have the drive or passion to build the temple. They were getting used to a lifestyle where they were satisfied with the altar. Right? Oh, we have an altar. Okay, and we can go weekly there, worship there, and thank God there, and then come back and live our life. Right? We are in the promised land, we are not in Babylon, we are in our land, but let's be satisfied with the altar. And oh, the temple, when the temple is built, the nations can come and God can be glorified. But what do I do? There's a lot of opposition. So they continued. There was an internal problem of apathy. No zeal, no drive to do anything new for God. They were getting used to the altar lifestyle, we can say. So God saw that they had fallen from the first love. They lost the godly zeal that they had. So God sends Haggai to stir them up. Okay, that's the background. So we may ask, why is God angry with these people? Didn't they volunteer? See, we'll have to understand. When it comes to God and God's kingdom, nobody is a volunteer, right? Volunteer. Sometimes people think we do a favor to God by coming to church. We do favor to God by doing some things. No, you know, God, it's not, you know, our wish or whether we want to do or don't want to do, you know. God sovereignly chooses people. Out of all the people who are there, who are dead in sin, God sovereignly chooses us and calls us. He works in our hearts. And once He chooses us and works in our heart, He plans to accomplish His purpose through us. Right? So we are not volunteers. It's the work of God that has happened in our heart. I didn't volunteer. For some years I thought I volunteered to be a pastor. No, it is His work. Right? The effects of that is we volunteering. But the cause, it is He who works in our hearts. We are not volunteers. Nobody is a volunteer in the work of God. The choice, the sovereign choice of God itself is a big privilege. It's a big blessing. That out of all that, we could have lived a life filled with vanity, lived with the world, but God chose us. He worked in our heart. He opened our eyes. That's a big privilege. When God chooses us for a work, and when we fail in that work, there are terrible consequences, right? Both for us and for the generation we live. So God sends this prophet Haggai. He reminds them of God's purpose for calling them and bringing them from Babylon. Why? He says the temple is destroyed. It's in ruins. How can you guys be relaxed? How can you be careless? You started doing the work, but it's time to come back. It's time to get engaged. It's time to be busy in the kingdom work. You can't be relaxed and laid back. God is angry with them and God is chastising. Haggai shows that. They thought, from a human perspective, they thought they're doing good. They have made sacrifices, they've come in the promised land, they're not in the Babylon like other people, but God is angry with them. And God is chastising them, punishing them, and they don't even realize. And Haggai shows them how God is punishing them. So let's look at that. Look at, you know, how he mockingly says in verse 2. In fact, it's a lot of sarcasm. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the house, Lord's house should be built. When we ask them, why are you not building the temple? Why are you not busy with God's work? These godly Jews, these people who left Babylon, they say, the time has not come. It's not the providential time. Right? We use providence for every excuse, right? For all our laziness, many a times we use providence. Oh, it's not the time, Pastor. It's not the time. Providence is not allowing me. There's a lot of opposition. They wasted 11 months with this excuse. And God is upset. It's not the time. So, the procrastination, the kind of delay. In the time will come. We are not saying we're not going to build a temple. We're going to build a temple, but we're going to delay it. It's not the time. We're waiting for the right time to come. Slowly they learnt a lifestyle. Like I said, instead of building the temple, they are, you know, other things became important for them. When God's kingdom and his, God said, seek my kingdom and first in order, first in priority. When we don't do that, other things take precedence, right? Family becomes important, job becomes important, the other things become important. That's what has happened to them. Why didn't you build the temple? Their excuse is time has not come, but time for everything. Think of us. See, everything that God says to those people may not apply to us. We live in a different time. But historically, the history of Israel mirrors the experience of a believer in many ways, the experience of the church in many ways. There are principles that we can glean from this. Maybe we are not in Babylon captivity, but we were in a worst captivity. We were in bondage to sin. Our wills were enslaved only to do sin. Just think about how horrible Babylon life was for us. We were wallowing in sin and we were dead in sin. We were without God, we were without temple, we were without worship, we were without song, no joy, no divine peace. We lived like the world, worshipping every creature that we could think will benefit us. And we were heading towards the eternal hell. But God brought us out of that bondage. And why did God bring us from the Babylon of our life? Why? Peter says, he brought you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For what? He didn't stop with that, right? There is a purpose for you. You have to be engaged in the great work of building the temple by proclaiming his excellencies. We have a work here. He's brought us from the darkness to the marvelous light. For what? We'll have to proclaim his excellencies revealed in the gospel. Right? And that's the temple work for us. Spreading the gospel. We've been called to be busy in the kingdom work. But what are we doing? Just like those people, we have formed a small altar, which is a Sunday religion. Sunday morning we come to Sunday and we worship, we sing, and okay, we are satisfied. We think God is satisfied with us. And then we go on with our 6 days of life. That's an altar worship. Oh, building of the temple, getting all the nations to come and worship God, glorifying God, spreading the gospel. No, I have my altar, a small altar that I have formed. I come every week, I worship God, go home, and I have my other responsibilities, right? Are they not God-given responsibilities? Shouldn't I take care of my family? Shouldn't I take care of my job? Yes, but we should realize those are secondary responsibilities, right? We, many a times, we fail to recognize that the primary responsibility is the first tablet. We have to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and we shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. We should worship Him, and His temple, His worship, His kingdom should be the first priority. And then the secondary responsibilities, right? Many a times people get confused, the priorities are not right, and you know, then they give an excuse. Shouldn't I take care of my family? Yes, you should, but those are secondary. What about your primary responsibility for the kingdom? Why are we not doing anything for the kingdom? Like those people, we may say, it's not providential time. Pastor, I'm very busy with work. There's a lot of workload, Pastor. I have so much to take care of, my job, my family, God-given responsibilities. And you know, the primary responsibility should never compete with the secondary responsibilities. Right? That's how God has called us to live. How many of us are like those people? That's what we'll have to examine. And look at what God says, right? He rebukes them in verse 4. He says, is it time for you yourself? You say no time to build the temple. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? What does he mean? He's saying, okay, you're saying there's no time to build the temple, but you are in your comfortable, cozy, sofa lifestyle. You go home, you lie down, laid back, relaxed with your TV, with your mobile, with your smartphone, and you spend your leisure time, hours and hours of leisure time in your home. You have time for all that. That's what God is saying. You have hours of screen time going on your mobile and hours of screen time on TV, and you stay relaxed in your time, home, right? Wasting so much of time, but you don't have time to build the temple. You don't have time to spread the gospel. You don't have time to do anything for the gospel. What have you done in 2023 for the kingdom, for the building up of the kingdom, apart from your regular altar worship? You may wonder, how can I be so personal? You can't get into my house and talk about how I watch TV. You can't get personal. Agai? Yes, Agai can't get personal, but you see, that's where I think the Lord is repeating again and again. This is not Agai speaking. It is the Lord of hosts says this. Right? The Lord who knows our hearts says this. Humanly speaking, nobody could find any wrong with us, right? We are doing our thing, we are living our life, and we may appear even righteous before men, but we are busy with other responsibilities, Pastor. But when we stand before God, each of us, you know, I examine my heart, right? It's a part of introspection, right? If you thought you're going to feel good by coming to this Sunday year end, I'm sorry, that's not my message, okay? It's to make you introspect. Many a time introspection is not pleasant, but that helps us, you know, to prepare for the new year, right? Like I said, nothing is going to change your new year unless you realize where you are, right? So realize where you are. As a pastor, where am I? God has given me 1 year. God knows my heart. Can I say before God in all honesty, Lord, I've taken care of my responsibilities in the circumstances that you have given me. I have done to the best of my abilities for the spread of the gospel, for the kingdom. Can I say that as a pastor, as deacons? Can you say that as church members? Will God say, looking at 2023, our life, the way we have lived, my good and faithful servant? You've been faithful with small things. I know you had a job, you had family responsibilities. With all that, I have seen your efforts. I know. That's what he says to 7 churches, right? I know. I know what you've done. I know your efforts. I know what you've done. I know that. Right? You were faithful in little, and I will bless you with more. You've used whatever time and whatever opportunities that you've got to build the temple. You don't have to answer me. You'll have to answer the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts, what have you done for the building of my temple? Are you satisfied with the altar worship? I come, I attend every Sunday. 54 weeks, Pastor, I attended all the church service. I tithe, I'm happy with that. In the beginning of 2023, you know, as a church, we planned some things. Maybe it may not be relevant, so I will skip. You know, whatever you planned, you can think about it. What did you plan 2023? What is that you're going to, what you said that you're going to do for God apart from your altar worship? Right? What is it that you're going to do for the gospel when the temple is in ruins? Right? Think about it. When all around the temple is in ruins, God has fed us with solid truth. Right? Yes, we are not in Babylon. God has called us, and we are in His true church, and God has fed us. You know, when we look at other churches and the preaching. Nowadays with live stream, we can get into any church. Right? We can get into any church preaching. Oh, it's such a sad thing to see hundreds and thousands of people sitting under preaching that has no solid foot. It's all entertainment. It's all useless preaching and twisting of God's word. It's sad to see. Every week God has fed us with truth, and in fact we have feasted sometimes when God has come in His Spirit and spoken to us through His Word. And the more we have read in 2023, sorry to say, what fruit has that brought in your life? Examine your ways, examine your life, all those truths. Will it, all the 2023 truth that we have learned and the knowledge that we have grown, will that result in a chastisement for 2024 because we have not done anything with that? Do we have that godly zeal and the love? Have we fallen from the first love? If you have not done anything, pastors, don't make me feel more guilty. Please tell me what I am supposed to do. Right? That's what people get to. Oh, don't talk about this more. Today is the last day. Okay? And in a way, God says, if you have not done something, will you do something at least in this last day so that 2024 can be a blessing to you? Something that you can do that can have an impact in 2024. Look at verse 5. That's what he's saying. Therefore, because you failed in your duties, you've not kept your word, you've just been satisfied with your altar worship, you've not done anything for the kingdom is in ruins. Verse 5, this is what you're supposed to do. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. I think this is a key command in this whole book. It comes again and again. Repeatedly he says, consider. What does it mean? Think. Consider. Think minutely. Think in a piercing way. Think in a way you would ponder and research. Think. The way you've lived 2023, think about it. How did you get up every day? How did you end the day? How did you spend your time? Think about it. Consider your ways. Consider the 365 days. What did you go after? How did you spend most of your time? What did you achieve at the end of the year? Don't just think about your ways, but think about the ways in comparison to what God has done to you. He's brought you out of Babylon. You're not an ordinary person. Just go to work and come back and spend your time. No, God has brought you out of Babylon. He's delivered you. He's saved you. He's forgiven you. He's justified and redeemed you. He's gifted you with His Holy Spirit. He's given you a specific gift to be used in the kingdom. What have you done? Consider your ways. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He's fed you with spiritual food. You've learned so much. Consider your ways. Why? Because your ways are the reflection of your heart, the state of your heart. Is your heart lukewarm? Is your heart filled with godly zeal, burning for the kingdom and burden for the gospel that so many are perishing, and I am here as living as a lukewarm life? That can be seen in your ways, right? We can't maybe immediately look at our heart and realize the state of our heart, but look at how you live 2023. That is a reflection of your heart. Why is it? Think, ponder, think carefully. In fact, the Hebrew phrase means think carefully, think continuously to an extent where it leads to some action. Right? We think and we forget. That's not what he's saying. You think about your ways till it leads you to some action. Till it leads you to do something for the coming year. At least you can do that, right? 2023. If you want 2024 to be a blessed and fruitful year, consider your ways. Do some serious thinking. You have to introspect 2023. Think about what you have achieved. Running after the world. You eat, drink, take care of your family. Family has become more important. Instead of seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God has said He'll bless you with all other things. My house is in ruins and you call yourself my child. But what have you done? Jesus when Jesus saw the house of temple of God was filled with marketplaces, he was consumed with zeal, it says, right? He was so filled with indignation. What indignation do you have? God says, okay, you're coming and listening to my word, and you've not taken my word seriously, but have you seen what I'm telling you through 2023 in your life? God speaks to us through two ways, right? He speaks to us through His word. You know, it's always wise to listen to God when He speaks to us through His word, right? Because otherwise, He will speak to us through our life, through providence, right? Through trials and circumstances. I've learned one thing, God, when you tell me something, I will listen to you, right? Please don't speak to me through providence. Right? That's going to be dangerous. But God, Haggai shows them how God has been speaking to them. Look at 2023. Why has there not been a great renewal in your life? Why has there not been a great revival in the church? We've heard such wonderful, marvelous truths. Why has the Holy Spirit not moved us? Why has there not been a great work of the Spirit? Think about the family. Think about so many troubles, the husband-wife relationship. Have we grown in divine love? How has our relationship and family been? Think about our children. Have our children become more godly? Are our children saved? The problems that we face in jobs. And think about the labor of our hands. Has God blessed the labor of our hands? Are we saved? And where is the satisfaction? Where is the fulfillment that we should have as people of God? No, we've put a lot of efforts. We've earned a lot of things. Maybe we made some money, but is there satisfaction? Do we feel that God has blessed us and we are filled with fulfillment? Why? See, God gives an answer. Verse 6, you have sown much, but bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. Yeah, you have sown much, but the reaping is less. You eat, yeah, you've eaten a lot, but you do not have enough. Is there a satisfaction? No, you drink, but you're not filled with the drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages, look at the irony, earns wages to put into bag with holes. Why is God not blessing us? Why is there no satisfaction? Yes, there is money, maybe there is food, there is wealth that we have gained, but do we have that fulfillment of being blessed by God? Where is it? You may have money, you may have food, you may have dress, but is there satisfaction? Is there the blessing of God? All that you worked, all that you earned, how much useful has it become? Look at the, he says, all your earning has gone as if you put it into a bag which has holes. Right? And again he says, consider. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 7, consider your ways. Why, Lord? What is God saying to us through 2023 providence? Why all this is happening? If you feel that 2023, there are so many things that has happened and I don't feel the blessing of God, I don't see the progress. Why all this has happened? Look at the reason comes here, verse 9. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Amazing. Can God do that? You put all the effort you earned, but you got little, and whatever you got, I blew it away. Can you imagine just the salary coming in our account and then all just getting disappeared? The loans and debts and EMIs and all that gone. What did I earn? You wonder? Why is this emptiness? Why, Lord? Why years of emptiness? Look at the reason he gives. I blew it away. Why? Thus says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. You come every week, right? You come to your altar worship. My house is in ruins, right? You come, the gospel is not spreading. You have this small altar worship, altar Christianity. You're not worried about anything. There's no burden for the gospel. There's no burden for spreading of the gospel. The family life, there is no godliness. You've not progressed in sanctification. There's no blessing on the children. And you heard many, many truths. Yes, you heard those truths. But you know what the scripture says? We don't get blessed by hearing God's word. Right? James says when you hear God's word, you'll have to, you know, look at it. You'll have to concentrate and you'll have to store that God's word in your mind. And you'll have to hold that fast because the devil will come and try to take away that seed. You'll have to hold fast to that word and you'll have to abide in that word. And such a man is blessed. Why are we not blessed? Because as soon as we hear God's word, we go home. As soon as, that's what he says, you run to your house. You don't have any time to fellowship. You run to your house and then go home, mobile, TV, and no care for the temple, no care for the gospel. You're all filled and overwhelmed with your secondary responsibilities while you neglect seeking the kingdom of God first. While my house is in ruins, see the community. You know, there are a lot of memes channels that have started. If you're not aware, there are many, many channels, YouTube channels that have started. And one way, one is fake pastors, one channel called Roasting Today's Christianity. Right? You should see some of them and the way they roast and, you know, ridicule the pastors, they deserve it in a way. But, you know, think about, everybody is roasting the current Christianity, but who is, you know, telling what true Christianity is? Who is showing this is what church is? Who is showing this is what a true pastor is? This is what true preaching is? No, the temple is in ruins. The whole Christianity is being ridiculed and mocked by people. But every week God has blessed us. We can say a festival of truth we have had every week in a dark place. Oh, no, pastor, we have had burden. No, pastor, I was worried about people. I was worried about people who are perishing. But how have you shown that worry in 2023? How have you shown, displayed that burden in 2023? See, God says that when He is going to come in judgment, He is going to judge everyone according to the works. When God judges your 2023 life, right? He's not going to judge basis your prayers, basis the feelings, your well-wishing. Where are the works that displayed your care and burden? Where are the works? Not just words. What have I done with my gifts? Or am I just satisfied? So let me tell you, the verse is not written to horrible sinners, bad people. I don't want to make you feel bad. These are people who have committed themselves, who have left Babylon, who have come to the promised land, who refused the worldly people's help and who wanted to remain holy. There's no lack in all that. But still, God was upset with them. Right? God was upset with them. So, let me conclude with a few applications. Okay? So, we'll have to examine. I think this passage should help you to introspect your own life. Few lessons, okay? Number one, outwardly we may be very godly. We may do some things for God. Men may not be able to find any fault. We may have good reasons, human reasons for our circumstances, for our inactivity. There may be good reasons. For example, opposition, I have a lot of work, I have family responsibilities. But God sees our heart. Right? God sees our heart. Just like Jesus said, you may justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. Right? If there is no true zeal and true love, God may be completely dissatisfied with us. And we may have all the reasons and we may have all the singing. We may say, without true zeal and without first love, God says, throw all that into dustbin. I don't care. Second lesson we'll have to learn, when God is not the priority and when we don't seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, that's primary responsibilities. When secondary responsibilities take the place of primary responsibility, family, work and all that becomes important, God may be chastising us, punishing us, we may not even be aware of it. Right? These people were not aware. Why is there no blessing in family? Why is there no fulfillment? Why do I don't sense the blessing of God in my life? Yeah, I have food, but there's no satisfaction. There's no fulfillment. There is no presence of God. You know, the blessing of God that brings the fulfillment and the joy. I don't feel that. Why? God's chastisement. See, these people didn't realize. The third lesson we'll have to read. If God is not the priority, whatever we seek in the world, with all our efforts, we will lose it. Right? He wants to save his life, will lose it. If you forsake Jehovah and run after other worldly things, you know, you may become rich. Right? And people argue, you know, what about that guy? He became famous. What about that guy? He left God and he become a billionaire. Yeah, you can become a billionaire. But just like Moses said in Deuteronomy, you may have all that, but your food will be cursed. Your drink will be cursed. Your prosperity will be cursed. You may have everything, but the joy of having all that and joy of blessing, if that is not added to it, you may have everything and still feel miserable. Why do these billionaires commit suicide? Why do these billionaires have suicidal thoughts? They may have got everything. They thought that will give them satisfaction. They ran after all that. But here is there's no satisfaction. There's no fulfillment. There's no blessing of God. Yes, Pastor, God seems to be talking to us through this Haggai prophet. What can we do? Can I suggest 5 practical steps of introspection for the new year, for the 2024? If 2024 has to be different, I suggest you do these things. If there has to be any change in the new year, see, just because a new year comes, nothing is going to change. Only the earth would have started a new rotation around the sun. That's what would happen. Nothing will change. Right? You may feel good about the climate and about the atmosphere. You may take some new year resolutions, but it'll all fickle away in a matter of 2 weeks. Before Valentine's Day, all the resolutions will go, right? Nothing will happen. You know, if you want the resolutions to work, if there are 2024 has to be fruitful and blessed by the Lord, it always starts with recognizing our sins, right? With the true sense of sin. What is repentance? With the true sense of sin, sorrow for sin and hatred for sin and the grace of repentance alone can make a new year blessed, right? With the full purpose of obedience, turning from our sin, turning from this kind of lifestyle to a new style lifestyle. That's what repentance is. So don't take me wrong, I'm saying harsh words after you come after a long time. I'm sowing a seed, I'm plowing your heart, hardened heart, so that once the hardened heart is plowed, right, that's when you sow a seed, it bears much fruit. So for the 2023, if it has to be a fruitful year, 2023 has to be so plowed, right? The heart has to be plowed. So the number one step, practical step, acknowledge there is a problem, right? I'm not saying this to reduce your joy, but nothing will change unless you acknowledge there is a problem. Why should we consider our ways? Why should we examine our life, introspect our life? Only when we examine, we will recognize what the problem is, right? Many people don't do anything for God for years together. They go on with their life. You know why? Because they think there is no problem. They're happy. They're satisfied. They're not busy for the Lord because they don't acknowledge a problem. You'll have to assess the predicament. You'll have to admit the reality. You'll have to admit this state of the temple ruin is unacceptable. We can't continue with this status quo. There's a lot of pending work, and I keep saying, God, if He has intended some work for you and you are trying to run like Jonah, you are increasing your workload. That's all you're doing. He will ensure that you've accomplished that work, even though it takes time. The better you do that work, your workload will increase, isn't it? He will ensure you do that work. If you've failed, think about 2023. You failed in doing so many things that God wanted you to do. What have you done? You just added your workload. Nothing else. Acknowledged that there is a problem. You have to admit, temple is in ruins. No, there is no blessing in the family and the children, and there's no life of witness around. And you got to admit, this is an undeniable reality, right? Undeniable reality. And where is the problem? Think about several areas. Let me give you some practical areas to think. God has given us marvelous promises. How do we experience those promises? How do we claim and experience those promises? It is through faith and prayer. We are in a right state in our life, spiritual state, when prayer becomes a pleasure to us. Right? When prayer comes automatically to us and we joy, because prayer is the weapon, prayer is the power source of the Christian life. Prayer is the channel through which God, you know, works His grace and His attributes through us and displays His glory to the world. Think about how is your prayer life, 2023. That's a good area to see where the problem is. right? How was your prayer life? 2023, was it a blessed year? Psalms 1 says, the blessed man is one who meditates on the word of the Lord day and night. Right? Without doing that, how can 2024 be a blessed year? Think about it. Consider 2023, the ways, how much time have you spent in meditating the word of the Lord? And consider, time is the most precious, valuable thing. Right? I think the new year should remind us that. How have we spent 365 days, 8,760 hours? What was the burning desire? What was the yearning? What were we dreaming about, right? Well, how can I become rich? How can I become billionaire? How can I have that house? How can I have... Or was there a burning zeal? How can I grow the kingdom of God? How can I contribute to the kingdom of God? How can His name be glorified through me? How can His kingdom come through what I do? Was that a desire? Think about your leisure time. 6 days, how have you spent? How have you grown in your knowledge? Think about your screen time. Think about all that, right? Those things will tell you where the problem. Think about your finances, right? God said, be faithful to me in supporting the temple. And how much have we contributed to the spread of the kingdom? Or we wondering where the money has gone? Where all, you know, we think we have earned so much, but it seems like everything has gone in a bag with holes. Think about the temple building work, right? There's a lot of temple building work, you know. I'm not saying a physical temple, but building and discipling others. We are the temple, Bible says, right? Each believer is a temple, is a part of the temple, is a brick, right? And we have a responsibility to build each believer, disciple each believer, help him grow in the knowledge of truth and sanctification. The more we contribute and invest our life in the fellow believers and disciples and people who come to the church new, right? How much time do we invest in building them up, helping them grow in the truth? That's temple building work for us. How much have we spent? How much have we invested? Gospel sharing work. There's so much of work. Right? We'll have to plan so many things. You know, we planned a lot of things in the new year. Yes, with all the new year Josh and all that. We're going to distribute 100 tacts this year. We're going to ensure that at least one person will invite at least 2 visitors in a year. That's not a bad thing, right? That's not a very difficult thing. In the entire year, you just have to invite 2 visitors. 2 visitors to the church. And there is so much of rich content and social media. There is so much of reach. And think about what gift you have. And how have you contributed for the spread of the truth with the gift? And think about your personal life. Are there secret sins that you have grown in 2023? That can be worse, right? If God is chastising them for their failing in the temple duties, think about you growing in some personal secret sin in 2023 and that hindering you in the temple work. 2024 can be a chastising year for you. Okay, that's the first step. Acknowledge there is a problem. Second step is abandon procrastination. Abandon procrastination. Acknowledge there is a problem. When you consider your ways, you will know the problem. Okay, when you know the problem, what will you do? Okay, not this year, God. I'm going to do it next month. I'm going to do it. No. God says, do it now. These people's excuse were, this is not the time. Yes, there is a problem. Temple is not built. Temple is in ruins. Yes, there is a problem. The horrible, dirty habit of procrastination. If you consider your ways and God speaks to your heart, you will realize, no, this can't wait. I'll have to do it today. Before I end 2023, I'll have to do it today so that 2024 can be a different year for me. Right? Abandon procrastination. Then thirdly, the third step, adjust your priorities. Adjust your priorities. See, the problem with these people was they were occupied with their self-centered pursuits. The priorities changed. When they left Babylon, the priorities were right. We have to go there and whether we have food or house or no, we have to build the temple. But no, once they went and saw, maybe they used some of the temple materials to build paneled houses and they were used to comfortable living. And they were relaxing in their house.
We forgot about the priorities, right?
This is the problem, most of the problem. The priority. What is the priority in life? That determines a lot of things. And step four, envision the blessings of obedience in 2024. If you just obey, if you just consider your ways, if you just acknowledge your problem, if you just abandon procrastination and immediately obey God and do God's kingdom work, if you adjust your priorities, think what envision, imagine the blessings of obedience in 2024. You want to know the blessings? Look at what God says, verse 8. Go up to the mountains and bring the wood and build the temple. Go up to the mountain. That's a difficult effort, right? Yes, it's an effort. God's kingdom is an effort-driven work. That's why Jesus didn't say, you know, the harvest is plenty and the speakers are less. No, he said laborers are less. It's a laborious work, right? You had to go, it's a difficult work to climb the mountain. He says, go cut the wood and bring the wood and start building the temple. Do something for the temple. If you start saying, Pastor, from next year onwards, I'm not going to be a person who's going to just come and warm the pew and listen and go. No, I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be involved in the temple work. There is joy in serving. There is joy in sharing the gospel. There is joy in participating, contributing, and just joy in Sunday school work. There is joy in, you know, knocking doors and talking to people about Christ. There is joy in talking to colleagues about Christ. I'm going to be involved in some way. You know, I remember the church when we were very few. You know what we used to do? There were people who were initially reluctant to come. They had transport problems. You know what I used to do? You know how I built initially the church? I used to take my car and go to houses, pick people and then bring them, right? And that's how, you know, initially we have to do something. I'm going to use my car and to go pick up people who can't come. That's a ministry. Even small things, that's a temple building work. And I can't imagine this one girl, and very, very little girl, tiny girl. I picked her up like that. Now she's brought her whole family, 8 members. Now they're all church members today. This happened some 20 years ago. That small girl I picked up. And you know, now she's brought her whole husband, relatives, brother-in-law, everybody is in the church. Those are things we'll have to do for the kingdom. Small things. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a participant. I'm going to be involved, busy with the kingdom work. I'm not just going to be a spectator, right? Maybe there is no ministry, such any ministry here, but I'm going to start a ministry. Maybe a visiting ministry. Maybe a hospital ministry. Maybe a jail ministry, a sick ministry. There's any other way that I could probably spread the gospel. I'm going to invent a ministry. There's an old lady who said, I have a small house and I can't speak. Pastor, can you come to my house? So I will invite all my neighbors. And she started with 2 or 3 people, you know. She was instrumental in one of the big churches there in that area. Just start something. Start something. No more excuses, no more delays, right? And what happens? When we go to the mountain and cut the wood and start building the temple, look at, see what he says. Verse 8, go up to the mountains, bring the wood. Get involved, build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. Wow. It's an authentic pleasure of God. Can you imagine a self-sufficient God who lives in an independent? He says, I'm going to look at the small puny efforts that you are going to do for the kingdom and I'm going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to be pleased. God said, I'm dissatisfied with you. I'm displeased with you. And whatever you're bringing, I blew it away. That God can look at 2024 and say, I take pleasure in it. Can you imagine what the pleasure of God will result in our life? Oh, when we ensure that we please God, we honor God, He ensures He honors us. Right? Oh, what blessings can flow out of that pleasure, right? And He says, and I will be glorified. Right? The authentic pleasure will result in the active presence of God. And in verse 13 he says, I will be with you. See the blessings. And verse, if you move on to chapter 2 and all that, he goes on, lists some of the blessings when you get involved, when you become busy in kingdom work, when you walk with me, when you get busy in the kingdom work. Look at what happens. Verse chapter 2 verse 7, I will shake all the nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I know there is a different fulfillment for all this, but I think there is a fulfillment where God says, I will be pleased and I will bless the temple where many people, where the tribes and the nations will come to the temple. You get busy with my work. And what about opposition? Verse 5, he says, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Do not fear. What about my needs and facilities to grow the church? Look at verse 8. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. What are you worrying about? That need, this resources, the silver, the wealth and the billions, all that is in the world is mine. And it's my disposal. Will I not give it to you when you become responsible? All the wealth is mine. What about my work, my financial needs? Verse 19, is the seed still in the barn? And as yet in the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have not yielded fruit, and from this day I will bless you. Right? He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. What about my troubles? Whatever I have, I don't have peace. He goes on and says, serve me, verse 9, I will give you peace. And I can go on, there are a list of blessings. So you get right with me, I will bless you. So 2024, let's pick up our axe. Let's climb the mountain. Let's cut the wood. And let's build the temple. Right? That's what God says. So you consider your ways. Abandon your procrastination. Act immediately for God's work. Adjust your priorities and envision, imagine the blessings of obedience for 2024. It can only come with obedience, right? And final step, I cannot send you home without warning you. What will happen if you just hear this sermon like you heard all the sermons and go home and forget? Right? What will happen? Whatever you try to achieve in the God's kingdom, if you don't see God's kingdom, 2024, number one, will be again less productivity. Right? You will look for much, you will not receive that. Right? It came to little. And little progress, lack of progress. When you don't do God's work, you run hard, you will work hard, but there will be little progress. Number three, lost prosperity. When you don't work for God, when you don't seek His kingdom first, all that you earn, you will be putting in again a bag of holes. And you will have another 2024 year wondering what happened. And those of you who have not still come to Christ, what a good opportunity for you to come to Christ and believe in Christ. Right? Think about it, right? Your 2024 is again going to be a frustrated failure year without Christ. Nowadays, young people, I keep saying that, you know, with all the social media influence, with all that, they are becoming psychological patients in a way. Right? With so much of, you know, overload of information, with so much of expectations and all that expectations that come, and they're kind of frustrated with life. You can think about this. These are five ways you can come to Christ. Consider your ways. Think about your life you've lived without Christ. Right? Consider your ways. Acknowledge there is a problem. The problem that you have is your sin. That's your problem. Unless you get rid of sins, right? You may earn billions and whatever you want to become, you may become famous in the world and like all the sports stars and all that, but don't believe the pictures they put on Instagram, right? That's the best picture, one in the thousand pictures. There are 999 sad pictures they have. All that doesn't come in the social media. Their suicidal thoughts doesn't come in the social media. They are frustrated with life, because if you have everything in life but you don't have the blessing of God, nothing is going to make you happy in life. Come to Christ. Come to Christ and abandon procrastination. Devil takes people, billions of people, to hell through procrastination. I will come tomorrow. Right? No, not this year, Pastor. I still have to enjoy the world. I still have to know the ways of sin. No, don't do that. You don't have a guarantee of life. Don't abandon procrastination. Come to God. Come to Christ today. Repent and believe in Christ. Adjust your priorities. Imagine the blessing of obedience, right? If you just obey the gospel command, 2024 can be the best year you ever lived. I can guarantee you that. The year can be the best year with Christ. Come to Christ. Believe in Christ. And if you don't come, right? 2024 again will be a year where you will be not doing anything but adding to the wrath of God. Right? You'll be adding to the anger. You'll be making God more angry because He's given you more time to come to Christ and you've tested His patience and you'll be more angry. And do you expect any big things, good things, best things to happen in 2024? No. Come to Christ today, the last day of the year, and your year can be the best and the most fruitful year. Let's pray.